In honor of Walt Disney's 112th birthday, the Cubs reminisce upon their favorite Disney movies. Which movies made their top three favorites, and what movies did we sort of see and cannot really remember seeing? COL 239 starts now.
December 1st, 2013. I'm Jeff.
Me not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
It must be.
One.
I think that makes me Gary.
No, she didn't. Ooh, girl.
One of these days we'll get this right.
Well, when you're from Pittsburgh, you have to do something.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast, Vegetarian Lake, episode number 239. And I need a dwarf.
A dwarf?
I need a little person. Preferably a top little person.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Well,
really doesn't sound right.
Okay, so I had sex the other day, yesterday morning, with who I like to refer to as the Brute.
Still doesn't sound right.
I love my Brute. He's a bigger guy. He's just this brute of a man. So he's great. He has a slight fetish where he wants to get fucked by a dwarf or a little person.
Okay.
Politically correct speaking, little person. But for some reason, while we were talking, we kept saying dwarf, and I was giggling the entire time. But. Wow. You know, the idea of him on his hands and knees, doggy style, and the dwarf behind him standing up, going at it.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Honestly, completely, I'm actually totally serious about this.
Completely, totally random. Wow.
If you know a gay dwarf who wants to fuck a bull ass.
Oh my god!
He's just trying to bring back.
Oh my god!
Then should be
message you on.
Okay.
Send you a message.
Yeah. You couldn't have like said this on a different show.
Oh god!
It has to be this particular episode.
You know, you do have a good point.
It could have waited. Yeah.
You know, because
I thought see it a segue for this one.
Look, this kind of happened.
Happy, 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 happy,
and I thought I'd just kind of. Put it on there. Anyway.
Damon, you're going to hell.
Yes.
Also, another thing to advertise for. I want to do a Christmas music show. I already got some Christmas music from Bears, but I want to get some more. Shooting out for some leads myself here, but if any of you have a song involving Christmas, that you want to share with all of our listeners, let me know. Send it to us. cubsoutloud@gmail.com, and I'll put together a show. I really want to do one where, like, right around Christmas time, instead of us recording a show, I'm just gonna put together some songs and kind of do it like a Coverville-ish type show.
Okay.
Although it wouldn't be covers necessarily. Well, maybe covers. Just something for people to listen to around the Christmas season. So if you've got any Christmas music, contact us. cubsoutloud@gmail.com. So that's the announcements. Moving on. Oh, wait, I forgot a segment. Jeff's alcoholism. This week is some lime vodka. Unfortunately, didn't have one of the smaller bottles, so I had to get the bigger one. So I just got the one instead of two. So I got some lime vodka. It actually works great in Sprite. Believe it or not.
Alrighty.
Lemon lime soda and lime vodka. Who knew?
Yep, and actually tastes kind of yummy in bark root beer. Weird.
Well, I've heard Bark's Root Beer and Lime or Lemon people tend to like.
I suppose. But this is also, this is something that's like, if you don't want lemon, but you want something citrusy, it's probably a good idea.
Hmm.
All right. So what's going on? Gary.
Yeah, so it ain't Turkey Day anymore, in my opinion. So we had Thanksgiving, and the family got together, and for some strange reason, my aunt decided we needed two turkeys. I still don't understand it. Because there was at least one whole turkey of meat left over. She had already, before the family arrived, taken all the meat off all the carcasses. But, I mean, it was this huge roaster just heaping with turkey meat, which, you know, is impressive in a way. But then when we were divvying up the leftovers and, you know, all that stuff and cleaning up, I was like, you really didn't need the second turkey. I didn't say that out loud. Keep the peace. But yeah, it just, it was really off this year. And a big conversation, like every year, the whole, like all the women in the family, you know, they look at the ads and they discuss where they're going, when they're shopping, who they're going to. But it was just all off this year. Like, some of the family didn't come. Some of the family had to work. Some of the family like had to be, of course, some of the family had to be up early because they work in retail. But it just, the whole thing was just kind of like off. And then like half the family didn't want to go shopping. They'd rather shop online. And like, just, I don't know. It was strange, the conversation and everything. And in the end, I was kind of like, it, to me, it felt like just the family getting together for dinner.
Instead of like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like there was nothing really. But then again, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, Thanksgiving isn't really what it used to be. Like, I didn't make it my pick this week, but Mental Floss has a great video about 20. I think it's 25 things you didn't know about Thanksgiving, and it's all these things that are like kind of like talks about fallacies or things that people aren't aware of and stuff like that. And I think the more that we're connected in the world, the more we know the truth of where things come from or how they began and all that kind of stuff. I think things lose their meaning, like their connection for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the nostalgia just kind of wears off. And there's a part of me that was like, you know, there was nothing about this meal that felt special to me because all the food I could have made on my own if I really wanted to. So I don't know. And don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for a great many things in my life, and I enjoyed the day, and I got to hear some cute anecdote stuff about my grandmother who's passed away, who's not around, and some things of that. But there, other than that, it was like it was done and over with in like 4 hours. Like we arrived, the family was there, we ate, and then everybody had to like, people had to go shopping or go to work or what. And I was just kind of like, well, I guess that's it. And we're done. So I don't think it's really what it used to be anymore. And I don't know. It felt strange because part of me was like, did I really have to take a day off of work for this? Not that I'm saying I wanted to work, but my point is like, it just seemed kind of flat.
So yeah.
That's all.
That's understandable.
So, Damon, what about you?
Well, yeah, along the same vein, and for me, my Thanksgiving, I usually go down Wednesday and I stay until Saturday or Sunday. This time I stayed until Saturday. But I found out when my mom picked me up on Wednesday that the past few years we've been going to my cousin's house that she inherited from her great aunt or something like that. You know, older house, you know, nice house. But anyway, big enough for our family. We have a very large family and everybody comes and all that stuff. So, but her house was having electrical problems and the kitchen and the front area were like dead. Like there was no electricity. So we couldn't really make anything. So she kind of said, I can't host this year, which we understood. One of my other cousins, Nita, has taken the reins of getting everything planned for Thanksgiving and making sure everybody, you know, who knows what we're bringing. And then, you know, you're doing this and all that stuff. And then we all meet and everything. And when she found out this, she kind of freaked out. and didn't know what to do. And she was going to try to have it at her place. Well, she lives in an apartment and she has no furniture. So, no. it wasn't going to happen. So this year, for the first time in a long while, we decided to do Thanksgiving separately. Everyone did their own thing, you know, whatever. If you wanted to, you could stop by. But for the most part, we're kind of doing our own thing. So my mom, instead of doing a bigger, like, kind of Thanksgiving thing, we had a low-key Thanksgiving at her place, her apartment. And it was just me, my mom, and my brother. And, we didn't really... Like Gary was kind of saying, it didn't feel like a big, like, Thanksgiving thing. It just felt like a dinner, you know, like we're having dinner, you know. There was no talk about thankful. The family wasn't all there. It kind of just felt, it was okay. It was nice to do it, but, you know, it just was it, you know. My uncle didn't make the his smoked turkey, which is so awesome. I didn't have the... my cousin's stuffing. I had my mom's wonderful macaroni and cheese casserole, which is always good. But you know, we had a turkey roulade with a apple and sausage stuffing. It was really good. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't. You know, the turkey that I love and everything. So it just kind of, I don't want to say fell flat to me. It just felt low key and kind of calm and whatnot. You know, it was good to see my parents or my mom and everything, but you know, I could have done this any other time kind of thing. Yeah. But you know, it happens. Hopefully next year things will be different, but my mom was like, I should have told you earlier, because then you might have changed your plan. I was like, no, you know, if nothing else, I get to come here and see you and my brother and everything. And that's fine with me. And I get to hang out in Louisville. So, yeah. So there we go.
Okay.
Yeah. So some low key Thanksgivings.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. And pretty much from same for me. I just went to our family friends, the Dankoviches. Got to see the grandkids or their grandkids or kids, because daughters are still our friends too. Owen and Grant. And I went there and was like, I know these kids. I saw them last year. Well, one of them was, well, baby. And that was only at Christmas. And I totally forgot their names. So I gradually reintroduced myself to their names through the day. And I got their dog, which is a Chihuahua named Paco. He really did a bunch of lovin's for some reason. He would run, jump on my lap, and then he would like squish himself up against my face. He'd be on my chest, and he would just kind of like push his face into mine. It's weird. So I got some puppy snugglings, considering Sonic. Aww. Sonic is not a snuggler. I got some puppy lovin's. I got puppy kisses. Paco gave me some kisses, so that was kind of nice. The weird thing was, I came home, gave Sonic bed knuckles, and she actually gave me a true-fledged Sonic kiss.
Oh!
And I was like, oh, I got a Sonic kisses!
No, it's okay. Just because she's like, some bitch has been all over my man. Okay?
That's what I was thinking.
He's like, no. I need to put my stink all over him again, because some bitch has been up on him, and I ain't having it. Okay.
Paco's a boy, so.
Doesn't matter. Dogs are very territorial.
No, I could see that. No, she was. I don't think she was that bad. She just gave me a kiss, too. It's like she's like, oh, you got this face stink all over it. Or something, which don't get me wrong, son. Scout was always did that. He would actually wash my face when we were doing bed knuckles. Oh. It was awesome. But Sonnet just doesn't do that. She doesn't. She won't. She won't hold with it, Bub.
Oh. Yeah.
But Sonnet's more of a lesbian.
Nice.
So that's beside the point. Anyways, so that's mine. Any additional comments? How was your Thanksgiving, Robert?
Mine was low key, like everybody else's. I think I may have posted on Facebook. Okay, now that the turkey's been eaten, can I go back to not caring about this day? I know, and I know we've had this conversation, Jeff. You know, you say, well, you get out of retail and your feelings towards the holidays change. I'm like, for me, it's like, really? You know, because working in retail has kind of killed any and all desire I have to celebrate any holiday ever. It just, for me, it's like, okay, dinner is over. Okay, I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing before.
Okay, here's a big question. Do you have Christmas Day off? I'm not talking about Christmas Eve or Christmas or the day after.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Well, we're closed Christmas.
That's like the only day of the year retail stores are closed.
Yeah. That and Easter.
Except maybe Walmart.
No, yeah. Walmart's not. Walmart is never closed. No. Also, we're closed. We're only closed 2 days now every out of the year. We're closed Christmas and Easter, and that's it.
Huh.
And trust me, if they could get away with being open both of those days, they would.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no, no. Trust me. Target would. Our new CEO, these new rules for Black Friday are being pushed down from corporate. It's not coming from middle managers. It's coming down from the top. So it's like they're trying to compete more and more with Walmart.
Hopefully.
Which means they have to lower and lower their quality.
Yep. So,
but anyway, they have shorter hours, better products. So, anyways, that's beside the point. We have. Thank you for liking us on Facebook, Craig Barrett.
Yay!
I want to say I got something from Chester about the pedestal thing. I just can't find it.
Huh.
He is still on the pedestal, by the way. We haven't found a replacement yet. Not that we're in any hurry or anything. So just also a pedestal comment about that. So moving on, I do want to do a semi-movie moment. I say semi-movie moment because it was kind of a movie, but it wasn't a movie, and it was only on TV. And that was the Day of the Doctor Who 50th anniversary episode. Woo-hoo! Now, I want to comment here that I'm not really a big Doctor Who fan. I have no problem with it. I kind of think it's cool. I've watched maybe half of the first season of the new era. The Christopher Eccleston series. So I've only watched a few episodes or anything. But I was listening to Dueling Reviews, one of the major spoilers podcasts, and they were talking about everything about the Day of the Doctor, and this was right after the show aired last Saturday, not yesterday, but the week before, and I was like, I'm really intrigued. I want to see what's going on here. So I bought the episode from iTunes so I could watch it using Apple TV. And it was fantastic. Me just knowing some general things about Doctor Who or anything, as long as I get the initial idea of, yes, there are several different looking doctors, but they're all the Doctor.
Right. At the core, they're all the same person.
Yeah. Except they're not. It's weird.
Well, no, I mean the essence of the Doctor is the same. The guys, the face changes, the personality changes, but at the very core idea of the Doctor is the same.
Mm-hmm. It's still the Doctor, no matter.
Yeah, it's still the Doctor, no matter who wears the face.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we end up having three doctors here. Chris Eccleston did not want to join for some strange reason, but he didn't. That's okay. Because we have the last two, Matt Smith and David Tennant. Mm-hmm. Of course, we start with Matt Smith. Actually, no. We start with John Hurt.
Right. The war doctor.
The war doctor. And this is basically, this entire episode is a story about that time, which is the time when the doctor made the decision to trigger a weapon that completely destroyed Gallifrey, his home planet, and destroyed the Daleks, basically finishing up the Time War. And how something ends up happening, and how something ends up happening, and the decision is changed in this episode, and how that all happens, and the storyline around that, and the timey-wiminess of everything. and they see timey-wimey a couple times during the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I love John Hurt's reaction to that.
My favorite part, and they that I was actually waiting for because it was spoiled in the dueling review, is this part where basically the decision was made, but they basically need all the doctors to accomplish what they're going to accomplish. I'm trying to keep this vague so I don't get full spoilers. And you literally have all 13 doctors.
I know. I almost screamed.
It was great because they had these screens up, and it was starting to get really hyper and everything. They basically just had clips of some of the older ones that were alive, and I think they had a couple from comeback. The Christopher Eccleston ones were also just archive footage.
Right.
And I think there was a couple times where they basically just put his face on a dummy or something like that in some of the things. But the greatest part was everybody knows that Peter Capaldi is going to be the next doctor. And they were like, yeah, all 12 of us. And then you hear, like, no 13. And you see just this eye shot of Peter Capaldi. And then you see his hands do a switch. And it's like, anyways, it was just an exciting, energetic thing. And it was just an exciting thing. So I'm probably actually going to go back to where I left off for the for watching the Doctor Who, this new era of Doctor Who, because it's really weird because I got this, what'd you call it, like pre-war Doctor Who yeah. series, and then there was a big gap, and then you had starting with the Chris Eccleston one, because Chris Eccleston was the one after John Hurt.
Well, because what happened is Doctor Who had been canceled, mm-hmm. and it had, oh God, my brain's blanking on who Doctor Seven was. And then they decided to try and bring it over to the United States, and Fox Entertainment made a TV movie, mm-hmm. Starring Paul McGann as Doctor Number Eight. Mm-hmm. Well, that TV movie happened to go up against one of the highest rated TV shows of the 90s. And it was the final episode. It went up against the last episode of Roseanne.
Mm.
And nobody watched it. And honestly, it's not that great. Mm. But Paul McGann as the Doctor. So then you go and you find... Then 17 years later... 17 years. Paul McGann is the longest serving doctor of all of them. He has been the doctor for 17 years. Tom Baker comes in second at 9 years. Anyway, so 17 years later, they reboot the series with Christopher Eccleston. What the Day of the Doctor, the Night of the Doctor, and the other little things that have shown up have done has tied in the reboot into the old series.
Mm-hmm.
So the Night of the Doctor kind of shows you what happened to Paul McGann's doctor turning into John Hurt's doctor, turning into Christopher Eccleston's doctor. And yes, there is a bit of Christopher Eccleston in Hurt's regeneration scene. It's there. You just have to look for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for the eyes.
Again, the pasting of his...
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Stephen Moffat did talk to Christopher Eccleston about coming back. He declined because he said that's not really... It was a one-time thing for him, and he really didn't want to go back and revisit that.
One of the reasons why he was only on for...
Yeah, exactly. And then they went into Tenet, and Tenet then had it for three, almost 4 years, and now
5 years, it looks like. 2005 to 2010.
Oh, yeah. 5 years.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia article.
Anyway, so... Yeah. Anyway, but no, it was... It was, I loved it. Yeah, seeing Capaldi just about, I screamed my bloody head off. The little Doctor Who signs all throughout the entire episodes, or the episode. Lethbridge Stewart, if you're a fan of the show from way back, you know who Lethbridge Stewart is. And his daughter is her father's daughter. But anyway, yeah, there's all these little tiny things in there. People on Tumblr have gone crazy for this, going through the episode and picking out all the little teeny tiny details that they've put in from previous doctors and previous shows. You know, it's like the time vortex manipulator is right out of Torchwood, which Clara gets a hold of. So anyway, we should move on before Robert turns into a total uber geek.
In any case, I just thought it was exciting. So the actual transition to computer quality will be in the Christmas special later this year. Watch for that. So, let's see here. Moving on into our topic. So after all of that, introduction asking for a dwarf. Talking about Thanksgiving. And then gushing about Doctor Who. Let's talk about Disney. There have been a huge number of Disney movies, but it was almost 500. And this is not, we're not talking about just like the cartoons, like, you know, The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King, but, which is one start of a series. You got the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which was, and then Cinderella. Was it? No, Snow White. Which one was the first one? No, Sleeping Beauty was the first one, wasn't it?
No.
Actually, Steamboat Willie was the first one.
That actually,
but the first full-length animated feature, I believe, was Sleeping
Snow
Beauty.
White.
Snow White?
Snow White, 1937. Fantasia and Pinocchio came out in 1940. Dumbo and The Reluctant Dragon, 41, etc. I got a list here, DisneyMoviesList.com, that just sorted by year. So... Cinderella, where is Snow? Well, Sleeping Beauty.
It's a little bit further down.
Because for some reason, I feel like Sleeping Beauty was really an early one. But 1959, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
So what we're going to do here is talk a little bit about Disney movies by... some of our favorites. Let's actually do a little list here. Let's do a three list. You know, do 3, 2, 1. We'll go around one at a time, and once we're done, we'll talk more about just Disney movies in general. I want to start off with one of my favorite movies. My number three movie was The Incredibles. It's a Pixar movie. I admit, but it is owned and was, I believe it was produced by Disney. So it's a Disney movies, but The Incredibles, which was incredible. And so much fun. And you guys know how much I like superheroes. So I'm dying for an Incredibles sequel.
I am too.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's got to be. Okay, my number three was Robin Hood, the animated Robin Hood. With the animals and everything. I'll
I want that on Blu-ray.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it.
I'll admit this. Robin Hood's my number one, actually. But we'll get into more why once we get to my number one.
So, Gary, number three.
So, just for the record, I'm not like pleased with the whole ranking thing, but that's because I find it difficult to do.
That's no kidding, of course.
Because I have a whole series of movies that, like, I really like a lot. But since we focused on three, I guess I will say that my third favorite Disney release film is Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Aha!
And that's because it deals with one of my favorite things, which actually doesn't come across in the other ones that I realize, where they took live film and put animation with it. And I always thought that was pretty cool. And because it was probably the perfect age for the demographic of what they wanted, when I remember seeing it, I don't know, there was something to me very magical about the concept of like leaving the real world and going into like an animated world and all that kind of crazy stuff. And of course, Angela Lansbury's in it, and it has some great musical numbers, which kind of don't necessarily make sense in the whole plotline thing. But that being that said, I just really, really like it. And every once in a blue moon, like, I get this thing and I'm like, I got to watch it again. And I watched it this year. And I remember just as much how much I thought it was charming and fun. And actually, it's based on a story, which is based on a urban legend or myth about a real set of circumstances that happened that are supposedly tied to this whole thing. So it has to do with the war, the World War, and being in Scotland and that kind of stuff. So anyways.
Draguna McCoy's to call him, say it is Steve.
Robert.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Bedknobs and Broomsticks almost made the cut because I had to choose I'm going to show my uber geeky side.
It's only three.
I know. My number three is, it's a tie, honestly, between World of Math, which was actually a short. And this is the reason why it's a tie, because it's a short, because I put it with another short. World of Math was a short that was created by the Walt Disney Company sometime back in the 60s, starring Donald Duck, where you learned geometry. Yeah, shut up. Anyway, the second short I put with it was, of course, Disney's seminal Halloween classic, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Ah.
Ooh.
And I have very fond memories of watching this. It's one of my few pleasant memories that I have of my dad, of watching it with my dad at my Aunt Sandy's place when I was a kid and seeing it for the first time there. And loving it. I read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow as a kid, was actually forced to almost at gunpoint by a neighbor. the Washington Irving story. Anyway, just loved it and loved everything about it. And every time I see it, I sit there with a stupid, silly ass grin on my face. But the World of Math was just like one of those things, like as a kid, you're like, oh, well, it's Donald Duck. And what are they talking about? Oh, they're talking about, well, they're talking about planes. And wait a minute, what? No, I don't. Oh, cool. And it's just like, you know, it's an introduction to geometry. And you're like going, but what? Disney? Wait a minute, what? Disney made a lot of educational movies.
Oh, yeah. And you'd have like Donald Duck is just running around in the shapes or numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like
that. My aunt has told the story about going into her health class when she was a young girl and seeing Your First Period made by the Walt Disney Company.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I'm like, I kind of want to track. They probably got something similar. but anyway, but I'm like,
Nocturnal
Disney.
Emission.
Yeah.
By Disney.
Anyway. Okay.
What's that sticky in it?
Oh, yes, God, I don't want to. Oh, God.
You did it.
It's goofy. It's goofy. You know. Oh, God. Okay. Sorry. Okay, moving on. Let's move on. Anyways. Jeff, you're number two.
My number two is Aladdin.
Oh.
Mm. Ooh. Yeah.
I don't know why it really is. I mean, I'll have to say that The Lion King was the one that I watched over and over and over and over and over again. But for some reason, Aladdin just had it just tugged at my heartstrings or something.
Yeah.
But Robin Williams is brilliant in that movie. playing the genie. You know, it's where he's perfectly goofy, but, you know, at those serious points, he gets there.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. It's just, I thought the acting was great. The music was fantastic and perfect. I mean, sometimes I can't get Prince Ali out of my head. Never had a friend, etc.
Yeah, so it's exactly. Got it running through my head now as we speak.
So of that, if anything, in the new era, that's that really is one of my favorite of that. That one segment where they were super, super popular, which was Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Lion King. Those four movies was a section of their greatest of the time. And Aladdin is my favorite out of all of those.
Yes.
So, kind of a special place in my heart. I don't know. But that's my number. Damon?
Okay, so not like Robert, but I have a tie for the second place. Just because I couldn't decide between the two. I really could not. I could not decide between the two. It became impossible. So my number two is actually one that's already been mentioned, The Incredibles. The computer animated, yeah. I'm a superhero movie fan and whatnot, so it kind of made sense. I love the family dynamic and everything else, and it was fun. So there's that one. And tied with it is actually Beauty and the Beast. Along the same lines as what Jeffrey was talking about with, you know, it came around that time when, you know, the 90s where all the movies were, the new animated movies were coming out, and it just, I like this one. I love the musical. I love this one. It's beautiful. And it was a very well done told story and all of that stuff. So that's why I could not decide between the two. So
you just like the Beast?
No, not so much. I mean, I love the movie. I don't love the Beast, you know. It just is one. It's just, I just, the idea behind what they did with the Beast and the transformation and the story and all that stuff. Yeah.
And be our guest. Be our guest.
Exactly. Is that Jerry Orbach?
Yes, that was Jerry Orbach.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
As Lumiere.
Yeah.
And David Ogden Steers as Cogsworth. Oh, wow. I can't remember. I can't believe I remember that name.
Alrighty.
Gary.
So I'm not going to cop out with the whole, I couldn't decide.
hey.
Since we decided to institute this rule of top three. Anyways. I kind of feel that my number two and my number one are really close to each other. And I had to think really while you guys were talking about if I would watch one over and over and over again more than the other. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would, but it's like one barely ekes out the other. So I'm going to say that number two for me is WALL-E.
Oh. It's one of the ones
That's a good one.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen WALL-E? Oh, my God.
Damon.
Okay.
I haven't seen the Apple Dumpling Gang. Don't throw stones.
We'll get into that later. Now let's just
fun explanation. I will explain later. But okay. For right now, go. Keep going. Okay.
So WALL-E, I thought was absolutely astounding. It was amazing, like animation stuff that they did. And for me, probably one of my favorite things about it is that they picked a they reference and carry through a song from a Broadway musical movie throughout the whole thing, which I think is hysterical. And I think it's 50 minutes before a human voice is actually heard.
Yeah.
In the course of the movie, like, it was basically a silent film for over half. It's and I thought it was astounding. And I, like, I mean, I went and saw it by myself, and I thought it was absolutely amazing, and I was giddy, and I felt like a kid all over again in the movie theater, and I walked out of the movie, like, whistling a tune, and I just, yeah. So I can't, like, speak enough about how stupendously amazing I thought that the movie was, and that they created a whole new character concept that they hadn't really quite done before, although I think it does have a lot of, like, throwback to Short Circuit. The movie from back when we were kids. So, yeah. So, Wally is probably one of my all-time faves. So, I made it number two.
Alrighty.
That's cool.
Good choice.
excuse me. Well, as a little side note to Gary, there's a really great theory out there about how all the Pixar movies take place in the same universe. If you get a chance, look it up.
I know. I saw that thing, and I thought that the post that the person who proposed the theory and then explains everything, I thought that was fucking mind-blowing. Excuse my language.
I know.
I just could not. And I'm still – so now I'm like, okay, well, how do the new movies play into it? But anyways, so.
They will eventually. Somebody will figure it out. Anyway, okay, so my number two pick is a sequel to one of the most beloved classics of all time. It's actually The Lion King 1.5.
Really?
The sequel to The Lion King. Yeah, I know. Now, don't get me wrong. I love The Lion King.
Isn't that the Pumbaa and Simone movie?
Yeah, that's the Timon and Pumbaa movie. What takes place behind the scenes in The Lion King. Now, don't get me wrong. I love The Lion King. I sang the songs forever. You know, every time I watch that opening sequence, I get chills. Timon and Pumbaa were my favorite characters.
Ah.
So watching The Lion King 1.5, I'm sitting there and I'm laughing my ass off because they're my favorite characters. Now, granted, it was produced by Walt Disney Animation Television, so it's not the same quality, but it's still funny. It's still – I love Nathan Lane. I love Nathan Lane in that role. Ernie Sembella as Pumbaa. You know, I've always felt a little bit warthoggish. So, you know – It's one of those movies that I can sit there and I can watch four or five times and love it every single time, you know, whereas most movies I'm going to watch once, I'm going to go, eh, okay,
I'm good.
Move on. So anyway, that was my number two. Okay. Jeff, your number one.
My number one is Robin Hood.
Okay.
Ha-ha. Robin Hood. I don't know. Honestly, I really don't know why this is my number one. It's always been my number one when it came to Disney movies. And I've never really figured out why. But it's – I think it's one of the first ones I've seen. I mean, think about The Great Mouse Detective, which I actually saw in the theater, by the way. You know, there's all these other great things. But why Robin Hood? And I think it's just my feeling for the adventure and romance that is Robin Hood, and how well they portrayed it, and how, because it is this kind of development of seriousness but also playfulness.
Yeah.
With the, just that swashbuckling dexterity that the Fox Robin Hood has, and the trickery of them getting in disguise and going to the archery tournament.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah, that archery tournament scene is actually one of the best in all of the Disney movies.
Yeah, it's just,
and it really is just really one of the probably the only movie where it's really more about telling the story of Robin Hood than it is anything else. Sure, they crack some jokes, and it's animals that are doing it, but for some reason, it's just. It really is the story of Robin Hood.
Right.
Yeah. And Robin Hood and Marian. And I just think it's just a great, great story. It's really not the best of the movies. I will definitely say that for sure. There's some some movies which are much better quality or something than Robin Hood. But this one is more of a heartstring one. I think it's just one of the first ones I've remember seeing. And, you know, when I could get it on DVD, I got it on DVD. And now if I'm not even sure, but if they have it on Blu-ray, I probably should.
I believe my Uncle Jim had it on Laserdisc.
Wow.
But it's such a good movie. Such a really good movie. And it's one of the movies which are just kind of really not well known, but really people should check it out.
So, yeah.
Now, Robin Hood is my number one. So it's not a number two, David. Anyway,
I understand.
Speaking of number ones, Damon, what's your number one?
Okay, so I don't know. You might hate me, but okay. My number one movie is one that's been was recently put out. It is Enchanted. The Amy really? Adams. Yeah, shut up. Shut up. You will let me speak and let me tell you why.
Gay.
Shut up, Gary.
Oh my God.
All of you, just shut up. No. Well, Robert, you can talk. No. Paul, okay. Okay.
I'm having a hard time understanding this. Go ahead.
Okay. The premise behind the movie is one of the things I really liked. I like the idea of taking a Disney person and putting them in a real world, and how that magic of that person affects everyone. You know, it's not the greatest movie, but I love the premise behind it. You know, you put this Amy Adams character into the real world. She's this princess, and or what, not really a princess, but you know, she's this, you know, very flighty, naive girl, which you see often in a lot of their movies, and you give her a real life situation. Yeah, she, you know, she's looking for her true love, and she meets this guy who is a divorce attorney and has given up on love, but has a daughter who is, you know, the love of his life, and they come together, and it just worked for me. And I saw it in the theater for free. I saw it in the theater. It was 2007, I think. And that wasn't one of my favorite years, but the magic of it touched me. Idina Menzel was in it. Julie Andrews, I think, was doing the narration. You had Susan Sarandon. It was a very well cast movie and a very well done movie. And I loved all that it brought to, it gave you all those little hints of the Disney things, the Disney classic things that you love, and put it into a fun little movie that wasn't their typical movie. You didn't have a prince saving a princess. You didn't have fairy tale, you know, kind of thing. It was very realistic in a fantasy kind of way, you know, and that's why I loved it. It wasn't their typical movie, and it hit me in the right place. And I can watch it every time it comes on the screen. I can sit and watch it because it was just that good to me. So yeah. So that is why it's my favorite one. And that is why I want you all to set up.
Okay.
It's streaming for free on ads and Hitlist. So if you want to watch that, otherwise you could rent it from all the usual places.
Yeah.
Really?
Set up.
Anyways, moving on.
Gary,
what's your number one or the one other item that you have on your list, even if it's not necessarily number one?
No, it's my top pick. And here's the crazy thing is my top pick I did not see in the theater when it came out. For some reason, it did not appeal to me. Like, I just didn't care. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I'm very puzzled by this. Looking back, I'm like, how did I miss seeing this when it came out? Like, it just didn't seem to make sense. And someone mentioned it to me. A friend mentioned it to me. Because they know what my likes and dislikes are and kind of where I put my energy and passions. And they said, whoa, blah, 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 blah. And they said the movie. And I looked at them and I was like, I've never seen that. And they were like, what? They're like, how could you have never seen this movie? So I watched it last year and I absolutely fell in love with it. And now I'm addicted to it. And I think I've seen it about four times in the past year, which is weird for me because I don't really watch movies over and over and over and over again. Just like I don't read books repeatedly. Like I'm pretty good. Once I've seen it, I'm good. Unless it really somehow impacts me. Oh. And so my number one pick is Ratatouille.
Oh.
And I had to think about it, like why it might outrank WALL-E. And it's probably only because I think it hits the good note of humor but they legitimately, I've seen some of the behind the scenes and stuff, and I think that's probably why I like it a little bit more, is that they actually went and learned about French cuisine cooking and how a kitchen operates. And like, so everything that they're showing in it is legit. Like, right. Even though it's animated, like the references that they make, all of that kind of stuff, the ratatouille dish that they actually make is a real, like that version is a real dish that's served in a real French restaurant. Like, so there was just a lot of stuff about it that I thought was really good. And because I love, you know, cooking and that kind of stuff, I don't know. It's very, very cool. And it has I think most Disney movies do. It has this, moral story, so to speak, or a takeaway, what have I learned today kind of thing. And I think this one kind of hits it on the head a little more than others. Like some of them, you know, it's kind of, if you pay attention, there's a moral, like, you know, you should be nice to people or blah, 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 blah. And, you know, don't judge a book by its cover and all that kind of stuff. But in this case, it was definitively about that anybody has talent. You shouldn't dismiss that. And I think that was pretty cool. So yeah, it's like my all-time favorite. And then I completely like freaked out last year when I found out that Disney Europe, the Paris version, I don't think it's the Paris version. I think it's Anaheim is actually creating, like they're expanding their park, and part of the park is going to include supposedly a Ratatouille dark ride, which dark rides, for folks that don't know, are basically like kind of small indoor roller coaster rides or kind of like haunted house style, but where you have a car. So like you sit in a cart and then you kind of like travel through the building, so to speak, and see scenes or scenarios, and you might go up and down, you know, in different directions and stuff like that. But there's a rumor that's something that's in the work. So I completely freaked out last year because there were all these people taking all these behind the scene pictures, which were illegal, and posting stuff that they're working on in that. So anyways, so Ratatouille is my number one.
Interesting. And that's another movie I've also only seen recently. And I like it too.
I totally need to like rent that or something. It's like some of these movies I'm just throwing into, can I stream it? And seeing if I can stream it. Most of them we cannot stream, although there are some digital rentals and digital purchases. Uh-huh. And then I went over to Amazon, added them to my Amazon wish list.
Aha. Uh-huh. Alrighty, Robert.
My number one is sort of number one because of one very simple thing. What is it? Phenomenal cosmic powers. Aladdin is my movie. I was probably 16 or 17 when it came out. I didn't see it in the theaters. I actually didn't see it until I saw it on home video, actually. But I fell in love. And Prince Ali, you know, that whole thing. I still find myself singing A Whole New World. I mean, uh-huh. it's just a really fabulous, fabulous movie. And I love Robin Williams. I love watching that man act, or try and act or do what he does. They said they, when they were recording, I remember watching the behind the scenes stuff, and they said that when they were recording Robin, they had about 10 hours of material and not all of it usable. I'm like going, they need to release it. Just release the video. I will buy it. I just want to watch.
This is why you put an extra disc with the Blu-ray.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to watch Robin Williams be the genie for 10 hours. That's all I want. So, but no, and you know, it's just, it, well, it's either that quote or, you know, when they're on the rug and he goes, and he's as a stewardess, he goes, your exes are here, 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 everywhere. Sorry. But yeah, Aladdin is, it's just, I love the story. I love the music. It's another, you know, Tim Rice, Alan Menken jewel. It's just, I think it was just, I was just the right age. And strangely enough, I wasn't a child. You know, I was just, it, and the story spoke to me. It was just, you know, a really cool movie musical. And I like musicals, but I don't like traditional musicals. Like The Lion King is not really a traditional musical. Aladdin's not a really traditional musical. I've seen The Little Mermaid. I was like, okay.
Traditional musical.
Traditional musical. Boy meets girl, or girl meets boy. Girl loses boy. Girl goes to see witch
boy
and
boy back.
You know, girl wins boy back. But you know, the other ones, it's not that I don't love the music and don't love the movie. It's just, it didn't speak to me, you know? And so, but Aladdin, it spoke to me. It spoke to me more than The Lion King, and I love The Lion King. So, but yeah, it was just, and I, like I said, I could sit and watch Robin Williams do just about anything. So
like one of my favorite parts of that movie is actually at the very beginning. Ah, Saddam, and good evening to all the fans. Please, please come closer. Too close. A little too close. Welcome to Agrabah. See the mystery.
It's so funny. It's like, I've seen Robin Williams, because Robin Williams was on Inside the Actors Studio. It was a 2 hour. They don't do 2 hours for anybody, but Robin Williams, they did 2 hours for. I've seen his Inside the Actors Studio probably 10 times. That's how much I love the man. So, anyway. Okay.
So that being said, I do want to give let you know that a part of my top list was definitely Aladdin, and that's because not only is it a good musical and it has great humor, I agree with everything that you said. It also has, in my personal opinion, the best villain of Disney, and that's Jafar.
Oh yeah,
because he's a fucking swishy queen who runs around like being uber gay, like with his, you know, snarky sidekick parrot Iago. I don't know. It cracks me up.
Jafar. It's just stuck in the door.
See, but not as you know him.
Okay, we can't. You can quote the whole song.
just to show you how much I like that movie.
But it wasn't your number one.
Yeah. Now, no. Robin Hood had the heartstrings. Aladdin's the really fun one. In some sense, they could have both went kind of one. But, you know, since I practically have that intersection memorized, I used to actually act it out over and over again. That's a good monologue for auditions. I should remember that.
Okay.
But, yeah, so. But
so that being said, I do want to run through a bunch of other, just name them. These are movies that stand out to me in the Disney, like, esque groupings. This is like part of my top thing. Mary Poppins.
Okay. Oh, hell yes.
Classic musical, kind of like Bedknobs and Broomsticks, brings animation and live film together. You guys already mentioned and referenced The Lion King, because it's just, you know, it screams everything. Pete's Dragon.
Yes.
True.
Yet another like animation and live film.
And with the fabulous Maud Adams.
Mm-hmm. The Black Hole, which was one of the rare Disney sci-fi things that they did.
And one of the rare failures.
My sister fell asleep in.
Yeah, it's one of the, and the strangest thing about it is that it gave me nightmares. which is not a goal of Disney.
Well, see, I saw the black hole because I didn't see it when it came out. I saw it at my elementary school. My elementary school ran a summer movie program when I was a kid, and that's how I saw the black hole, Superman 2 and 3. And it was a lot. The Fox and the Hound, Robin Hood. They ran a lot of Disney during that, but I remember seeing the black hole during that and not liking it even slightly. I don't know why. Because it's Anthony Perkins. It's kind of campy.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on, Gary.
Hocus Pocus.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Which is like one of my all-time favorite campy, like silly kind of Disney movies, which actually what cracks me up is that there's a rumor going around this year and a petition or talk of making a petition to get Disney to turn it into a Broadway musical.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Right. And actually they could get Kathy and Jimmy and Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker to all reprise their roles.
Nice.
So yeah, I think that would be like fucking awesome as hell. Anyways. And then Tron. Another like sci-fi kind of, you know, going into a whole new direction thing. I thought that was amazing. I thought the sequel, Tron Legacy, was actually pretty good. And then the last one that I want to say is, which I know it kind of got panned, not necessarily people liked it, but I really enjoyed it, which was Brave.
Oh, I love Brave.
I love Brave.
Where they decided to make a new version of a princess.
Yeah, I love Brave. It wasn't great or anything, but I thought it was really good and I really liked it.
Brave would be in my top 10. I liked that it was, I liked it because it was different. I liked it because it wasn't the traditional princess. And it was right. Very, not realistic, but it fell along those, you know, history kind of things that I like. So, yeah.
Well, I think with the Brave story, I think it's much more, it's like what Disney has been doing for their latest princess movies has sort of made them be more modern, but in the classical sense.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Merida and Rapunzel, they're both very much modern girls. And they really have relied on that. Well, I don't need a prince to save me. I can save myself.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which sort of started, I think, with Ella Enchanted. You know, Ella Enchanted kind of started that whole thing. Which, by the way, that's one of my favorite princess movies. That's not a Disney movie. So anyway, but no, Brave and Tangled, and now with Frozen, which I want to know what they did to the story of the Snow Queen, because that's not a great story. And I can't believe none of us mentioned like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, which
I've never seen it.
Oh, if fabulous I had, music.
Okay, if I had had my top 10,
yeah.
If I could have done all 10, Hunchback of Notre Dame is on the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it was one of the movies that I remember seeing that just, you know, it's the heartstring kind of movie, like kind of like Robin Hood to me. It's a very fun story. And it took an atypical character and made him likable.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing Hunchback and I really loved it. And I remember I bought the soundtrack. I thought it was really good. I think Hunchback got to me because it's about an outcast.
Right.
And how society treats an outcast and how Esmeralda, like, you know, felt different about Quasimodo and the different kind of stuff. So, yeah, it didn't make my top 10 because it wasn't until you mentioned it. I was kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then I think the reason why I kind of felt flat was because there was nothing uber special about it. I think they...
Right.
Kind of like another example, like Pocahontas. I really liked that film, and I love the lead song from it. But that's kind of about it. Like, there's, you know, it just kind of for some reason falls away.
There's nothing about this story that sticks out in your mind.
Honestly, Pocahontas was one of the ones I liked it, but I hated it. because it was so it they took the real story and
they twisted it just royally
twisted it a little too much.
Well, and it's like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I mean, when I remember when it came out, my best friend who's I'm not joking, he just happened to be reading Victor Hugo, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, at the same time that it came out. And he goes, how are they going to do this? Because if you haven't read the book, spoiler, everybody dies. It's not a happy book. It's like Les Miserables. It's not a happy book. You know, the musical isn't happy either, but the book is really not happy. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those, the story behind Pocahontas, behind the Snow Queen, these are not good stories. They're very tragic tales. And, you know, Disney, there's kind of a bone of contention. A certain number of people, they're like, why are we dumbing down these stories? And turning him in, there was a lot of people who were very upset about The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I remember when it came out, there's a very loud faction of people that were not happy about what they did to the story.
Yeah. So,
well, and that can be said for a lot of their films that they did, though. There's always been this like kind of riding issue about how they twist or change things around.
Well, yeah, and little Cinder Girl, you know, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's just it, is that, like, for example, let's talk, you know, for a little bit about the upcoming movies that they have, which some of them I think are going to be very polarizing. They're doing the production of Into the Woods, which is the Stephen Sondheim Broadway smash musical. I'm holding my opinions and my reservations on exactly which way it's going to go. Just like them taking over Star Wars, you know, everybody freaked out, and I was like, "Well, I'm just going to wait and see what they do." And then once it's out there and they're finished with it, then I'll watch it. Then I'll figure out what they did. Like, I'm not exactly a big fan of the idea of Stephen Sondheim writing a new song just for the movie. But then my mother and I were just talking recently about when they did Sweeney Todd, and he, you know, changed some stuff for that. And Mom was, you know, like, she's talking about how she didn't care for what he did and blah, blah, blah. And Johnny Depp was a horrible, you know, barber of, you know. And I was like, you know what? I said, here's the thing. I said, he agreed to it. He was involved in the entire process.
Right.
I'm like, so we'd have to, I said, we can't take beef with them making the film. We have to take beef with him allowing it.
Right.
And I think that's the part where people kind of, like, they don't like the fact that sometimes your idols don't meet your expectations.
Who's playing the witch in Into the Woods? Is it Meryl Streep?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I'm having difficulty seeing. I've seen pictures, but I just can't imagine it because, I'm sorry, Bernadette Peters was the witch and always.
Or Audrey McDonald.
Oh, no, I say I never saw her play that role.
Yeah, Audrey did it. She's done it in bits and pieces here and there, but I don't think she was on Broadway in the – or maybe she was. I can't remember. But, Bernadette. Yeah, I get
and
that.
And another movie for next year, which I know a bunch of my faggles have completely creamed themselves over, Maleficent, with Angelina Jolie playing the Evil Queen. I'm highly intrigued by it. The trailer looks really good, but I'm thrown off by the fact that they've decided to create an entire film around the Queen.
A villain.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm not really sure how this is going to work because...
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to capitalize on the buzz created by Once Upon a Time. Because if you haven't seen it, Once Upon a Time is the classic fairy tales made flesh. But the thing is that what you have to realize is that this is put on by ABC. Well, who owns ABC? Disney owns ABC. Oh. It's the Disney versions of these classic tales.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, turned into reality. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Once Upon a Time. I need to go back and start watching it again because I only got halfway through season two. But the thing is that – oh, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I've been purposely avoiding spoilers. But the thing is that that's, I think, where Maleficent is coming from. That being said – I saw the trailer. I love Angelina Jolie. I'm curious about it, but not curious enough to actually like go out and see it in the theater. or even get it on Netflix. If I catch it on TV, I might watch it. I might not. I'm not sure. It's one of those things, like, I just don't know if I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing that kind of is bugging me right now is that they took, you know, the classic fairy tales, they spun them into the somewhat successful television series, you know, Once Upon a Time. They came out with Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. So they've got those things running for them, but the thing that's bugging me is that they're not carrying through for consistency from one genre to the other. So, like, taking Maleficent from, I think it's Sleeping Beauty, and putting it into the television show is one thing. But then when they spin it out and then they're going to go back and they're going to make it a live action film, I'm like, yeah, but your actresses look nothing alike. Like, these storylines don't seem to thread into each other. It's like they don't. It's like they happen in totally different universes.
Well, and that's the thing,
because I'm like, what the hell, people? Like, you're a big corporation. You should be able to tie all this shit together. Like, everyone's used to that now. I think conceptually, they go and they see. Well, most people, not including myself, because it doesn't matter to me. Like, they go and they see the Marvel films, and then they wait for the end, and they catch things in the movies that like relate to the other movies and all that stuff. And I'm like, now we're pretty savvy as media consumers to look for that stuff. So that movie coming out is kind of puzzling me a little bit, because I'm like, I'm not really sure how this is going to play to everything else. It's not like this is going to be a horrible reference, and I know I'm speaking out of my place. It's not like Doctor Who, where the Doctor changes so you can get away with justifying why the look is different, or like, you know what I mean? I'm just like,
Yeah.
Well, no. I get what you mean. It's just it's one of those things. But the thing is that about Disney stuff is that it doesn't all happen in this. Their Disney core movies do not all happen in the same universe. Despite what we say about Pixar, their movies and their TV show and Marvel and Pixar, it's because it's so finite. Their universes are so finite that they have to reference each other. Where Disney core, it's like, you know, you have Winnie the Pooh has had the same look, but you know, each story is different, each story is new. So with Maleficent, yes, you've got a TV show, yes, you've got the evil queen on there. Is she Maleficent in the TV series? No, she's not Maleficent in the TV series. That's the way they can get away with Angelina Jolie being Maleficent in the movie. Damon, you probably know this better than I would. Have they introduced Maleficent on the TV show?
Yes.
Okay, was it in the first season or was it?
It was in the first season, and they brought her back again in the second season, but not the actual.
Oh, right, that's right, because she killed her and she. Did she kill her? Was she the dragon?
Yeah.
She was a dragon at the end of the first season.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying not to give too much spoiler away.
No.
Yeah, I was just going to say, David and I know some things. We're like, I can't really talk about that right now.
Okay. Anyway, but no, the thing is that so it's they can kind of get away with it because it's what they do. But also, I understand your point. It's like, okay, come on, people. Can we have a little universe consistency here? I mean, if you're going to do a movie but I think the movie for Maleficent was actually long in production before Once Upon a Time was in production. You know, it's the movie is, or no, was the TV show first and then the movie? I can't remember who. No, they announced the movie first before I remember hearing about Once Upon a Time. Because the movie was announced a couple of years ago. And I know Once Upon a Time now is in season 3. And I think it was announced like a year or so before that they were in talks to do the Maleficent movie. So it's one of those things Disney gets away with that because it's their universe. It's their playground. You know, they can go and fuck it all to hell.
Yeah, it's disappointing, though, because I think they anyways, I'm just not going to continue on with that. But other movies that are coming up that are slated either in the next year or the year after, the Finding Nemo sequel, apparently.
Finding Dory.
Yeah, they're calling it Finding Dory. At least that's what this website's listing. Toy Story 4, another version of Cinderella, another Pirates of the Caribbean,
and no tales.
Possibly Tron 3, whatever that might be. So
don't do a Tron 3 when Tron 2 did so terribly.
I love Tron. I saw Tron 2.
Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy, yeah.
I like Tron Legacy in certain ways, but I can see how it's a bad movie.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges just threw me. That just, I'm sorry, that just completely, not as old Jeff Bridges, but as young Jeff Bridges, that just freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah. Now, see, I thought that was pretty cool what they did, although after watching it for a little bit, I found it annoying because it seemed like they put so much skill in the opening sequence when you first see him when he's young. And then, like, and then after a while, I'm kind of like, oh, it's really obvious that it's not him. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so weird to me.
I think for me, it's also, I think the reason why they did this is because it's supposed to be a computer program. So it's supposed to be a little unsettling. Oh. But the thing is that for me, it was kind of like, I think Tron has such a huge amount of headspace with me because it sort of like came in at the time of my kind of discovering my geekiness, you know, where I loved computers and loved all that kind of stuff. And it just sort of like, it occupies such a huge headspace for me that the sequel had no chance. You know, it's kind of like with Star Wars. The first three occupied such a huge amount of my childhood. You know, I remember watching it on TV, having the bad VHS copies, you know, when they announced that they were going to finally release it on home video, running, I'm not joking, running out and buying them. My mom had a set. I had a set. It was just like, it was my favorite movie. So when the sequels came out, I don't think they honestly had a chance. Now, don't get me wrong. The Phantom Menace is a piece of bullshit movie making. It really is. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's just the, yeah. I could go on for hours about that movie. But anyway, the thing is that I think for me that the sequel never had a chance because the first one just had such a huge impact on my childhood that anything that comes after that is never going to live up to the expectations of the first one. So, you know, for me, Tron Legacy was kind of like, okay. No, I see where they're going with this. Okay. So, anyway, I think we beat that to death.
Yeah,
pretty much. I don't want to comment. I also absolutely love Bedknobs and Broomsticks. We had other things such as Up. I think was also a highlight. You guys remember the Absent-Minded Professor?
Yeah.
Did any of you actually see the Absent-Minded Professor?
Yes,
I have not.
I have seen like bits and pieces, and that's the thing.
I have actually seen the whole thing.
I've seen the whole thing too.
My mom's a huge Disney movie fan.
I do have to say, I actually really liked the remake, which had the guy from Night Court. What's his name?
Harry Anderson?
That's it. Harry Anderson is the Absent-Minded Professor. And they actually remade it with him.
Yeah.
And it was just...
Instead of Eddie
Murphy. And it actually was really good.
Huh.
Strangely enough. So I like both of them, though. When the one with Fred Murray and the one with... I forgot his name. Harry Anderson.
Harry Anderson.
Yeah. So that's probably one of the... also a highlight for me, too. Was that any others on this list that you guys thoroughly enjoyed that we haven't talked about yet?
Huh. Let me look.
The Emperor's New Groove.
No.
Oh, I love
the
that
only one. Reason why to watch that is Eartha Kitt. Wrong leather crunk.
That was just hilarious. It's one of those goofy movies which I normally
and don't Patrick Warburton.
Well, yum. One movie that I actually haven't seen, but I know people have talked about. And like is Brother Bear. Yeah, yes. I've heard people like I hear a lot of bears talk about it. I don't know whether I've never seen it. Like I said, I just say
it has the word bear and has like a number of bears in it. Of course, bears don't like it. Don't forget about DuckTales movie.
Yeah, the thing about Brother Bear for me is that it was on my top list of like top 12 or whatever. I liked it because of the visual artistry of it and the moral, you know, story kind of thing. You know, that don't take for granted what you have because you don't know when it's going to be gone kind of thing, which I thought was cool. But yeah, I don't know. It falls in the genre of like the, like I said earlier about like the Pocahontas, you know, kind of like it's there and it's cool and it's nice and it had a song, but I don't know. It just kind of went away.
Yeah.
A couple others I'd like to highlight. DuckTales, the movie, Rescuers Down Under, The Rocketeer. Do you guys like The Rocketeer at all?
No. I have not seen it.
I love The Rocketeer. Yeah, check that out. Definitely check that out. Also, Newsies.
Yeah, see, I the problem with Newsies, and I know I've seen like bits and pieces. It's one of those movies where I'm like, I know I've seen like bits and pieces. Like I remember seeing like this, that, and the other, but I've never seen the full movie all the way through, so I don't count it.
And at the time, there really wasn't any like non-animated musicals at all. So this was kind of pushing into that.
Yeah,
I kind of think of Newsies in the same vein as I think of Bugsy Malone.
Maybe. There's also Flight of the Navigator, The Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, yes.
Which is streaming on Netflix, by the way. Toby. also, a cute one, Benji the Hunted.
I don't know why I never liked that dog. Never liked Fox the dog, and I never liked the movies.
Fox and the Hound. And now we were having a discussion about the Apple Dumpling Game before the show, which I have never seen. And here's one of the things is. The reason why I didn't see it, and now that I'm looking through here during this same era, there was a whole bunch of Disney movies featuring Don Knotts, who I have mixed feelings for. I actually really don't like him most of the time. Did like him in The Incredible Mr. Limpet, which is not a Disney movie, apparently. I thought it was. But that might have been one of my problems. The Aristocats. Do you guys like the Aristocats at all?
I did.
Not really. But then, of course, I haven't really sat and seen it and looked.
The Aristocats.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's like the rescue. Seeing cats dancing on a piano. Well, that's cute.
Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, Riskers. Lady and the Tramp, the spaghetti scene.
Yeah. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that.
I'm going to do that with the one I love. Fair One Dalmatians, Swiss Family Robinson is one of those that I swear I saw the whole thing. I can't really remember it. So maybe I only saw part of it. Not sure. 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Peter Pan. They did do a movie called The Story of Robin Hood and His Merry Men beforehand. But Fantasia, we never even talked about Fantasia or Dumbo. Dumbo and Pinky. Dude, I used to like be fantastic with or fantastic, I don't know. I used to absolutely adore Dumbo and watch it over and over again when I was a kid. In any case, so I just kind of wanted to go through there, highlight a couple other Disney movies. But you know what? It's time to move on. And moving from Disney movies to I say that because usually what we end up getting in our little list of tumblers here, not necessarily kid friendly.
Yeah, this episode is a bit schizophrenic.
Not at all.
Moving on. So Damon, what do you got?
My friend Gabriel actually is where I found this from. And I called it Horror Movie Bear ? Just because I like the pictures, but I have this feeling that these are kind of meant to be either really artistic and whatnot, or they're meant to be making fun of horror movies. So are, you know, kind of along those lines. And I really like the bear in the picture. And I like actually what's going on around him, you know, the first picture with the moths and all that stuff, the second picture, which is really awesome, of the guy with the lanterns and kind of, I guess, in a tree. I don't quite know what it is. And the final one, or not the final one. Yeah, the final one freaks me the fuck out, though, with the hands kind of pressed against, I'm assuming, in water, reaching out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the guy's adorable. He is. If it's the same guy.
I agree. He's a cutie.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know what, I would love to know, once again, where these came from so I can know what the actual, you know, what were they doing? What was the purpose behind it? Okay. And the source doesn't really.
You know, if you right click on stuff now and you're using Chrome, you can actually use Chrome and search Google for this image and try and track down the source that way.
I like Ben's music so much. Radical Face is one of my favorite music bands, and I want to say thank you so much for your songs. So maybe that's what it is. Interesting.
Okay.
Alrighty. So, yeah.
Okay. So, mine is tattooed and in a onesie. It's a follower from my Tumblr. I followed him, and then he followed me. And I don't know what his real name is, but he goes by Double A's in it. And yeah, he titled it Baked Rock in a Onesie and a Parrot on My Shoulder. I'm just like, cute bear in a onesie with tattoos. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good. Okay.
Your argument is invalid. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's my pick. Gary. Huh.
Cutie.
So mine is actually safe for work.
Yeah, it is.
Well, mine is too.
Actually, well, I think true. Jeff is the only one that doesn't, that has one that's not.
Yeah, mine's not safe for work.
Yeah.
Well, I've been safe to work, but not really safe for work.
I've been trying to break away my perv, like, run that I had on my Tumblr pics where they were all just like really so anyways.
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
See who it is.
Yes. Go ahead.
So I started following What's Up Danny. Danny Frazzese, who was in Mean Girls, who turned into this fucking unbelievably hot like bear.
Yeah.
Who is living out in California. And I still don't know what his story is. I'm not sure if he's straight or he's bi or he's gay. It doesn't really matter because
yeah, I was like, it doesn't matter.
Your sexuality doesn't matter when we're in bed together. That's all I'm going to say. but he has this great black and white, like kind of artistic, grainy photo of him drinking from a coffee cup. And the best thing about it is that on the coffee cup, it says, ask me about my stud fee.
Ask about my stud fee.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I'd go into debt. Like, yeah,
yeah, he turned into quite the bear.
Oh my god, he's fucking gorgeous, he's unbelievably. Yeah. And he, yeah, anyways, so
he did an episode of RuPaul's little chat show.
Yeah,
you did a link on it for it, didn't you?
Yes, it did.
Oh, God. I was just like, oh, my God, who is this man and why don't I have his number?
No, he's adorbs and not sure what his whole story is. He was recently traveling across the U.S. He's like working on a documentary of some sort, filming. Yeah. So and Halloween, if you follow his Tumblr, I was cracking the hell up for Halloween. A shit ton of people took pictures of themselves as him for Mean Girls. And he thinks it's awesome. He kept reblogging, like, or posting all these pictures that people sent of them dressed up as him from the movie. It was in the hoodie with the sunglasses. I thought it was awesome. I was like, that's so cool. So he appreciates being an icon, so to speak. So that's my Tumblr pick.
Nice. All
right.
So we got mine. I say Hard Warrior. It's because it's a drawing of a warrior wand with a heart on.
Yeah. And it kind of fits into this week's theme-ish.
Yeah.
If you're looking at Disney animated films.
Mm-hmm. I suppose, yeah. The animated Mortar, who's
kind of
got a hard cock.
Yeah.
That you can actually physically see the cock because there's
a cloth over
it. But we know that it's definitely hard.
So. It's a little Barra. It's a little Disney. It's a little bit of everything.
Mm. Moving on into the links. Robert.
Oh, I'm really showing my nerd cred today.
But you deserve to show it because it's a great pick. I saw it when it came out. I thought that was awesome that you picked
Adam Savage builds Han Solo's blaster. It's fucking awesome. Because Adam Savage is this... I mean, he is not king of the geeks, but he definitely deserves a title somewhere in that administration. So the thing is that he... a couple of the guys from the studio have this show. I can't remember. Test It.
Mm-hmm.
And they do all these kinds of really kind of cool, geeky things. And so Adam is an uber geek when it comes to certain things. And he built his own lightsaber. And one of the things that he is really kind of focused on is the detail, getting things exactly right. So the guys from Test It wanted to build Han Solo's blaster. Well, they tracked down all this. They were going to track down all the source material and all this kind of stuff. And they invited Adam on the show to help them build Han Solo's blaster. And so about, I'm not joking, 5 minutes in, Adam's laughing and he goes, oh yeah. He goes, it must be really hard. You know, basically it must be really hard to track down all this stuff. And the guy goes, oh, you'd think so, but somebody already did the work for us. And, you know, he's like, and I've actually read the 98-page PDF document to prove it. It's, yeah, so because it goes into very finite detail about how big certain things are, where screws are, what the base gun was, and all this kind of stuff. And it's really fun and fascinating to watch him kind of do this. And I just, because I saw the bit where he did his own lightsaber, and I thought that was really cool. And watching him do this is just, it's just like, oh my God, Adam is like not king nerd, but definitely, I mean, the current king gets thrown off. Adam's going up on there. So that kind of thing. But yeah, that was my pick. Adam Savage builds Han Solo's blaster from Tested. So
very cool.
Gary.
Apparently I'm on a Todrick Hall kick. because this just came out. When did this come out? Trying to look for the date.
A week or so ago.
Oh, come on, YouTube. Where the hell's the damn info about?
In about
October 29th. So actually, it's been a month.
Wow, really?
Yeah, but it just hit the big time, I think, in the past week or two, and it's got over 7 million hits. Virgin America, the airline, decided to update their safety video that everybody is supposed to pay attention to when you're getting ready to fly. And I will admit, having recently traveled for work, you tune out because it's all kind of like, yes, 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 I understand. My seat is a flotation device. I have to have my seatbelt buckled and the thing falls from the ceiling. Don't do children first, blah, 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 blah. So, but they decided to update it and do it as like a little music video. And Todrick's the kind of the main person in it for the quite a bit of the beginning, and then he comes back around. And apparently some other people said that there are contestants or winners from So You Think You Can Dance, who are some of the other people that are in it. So it's actually a lot of fun. And I was like, God, I wish every airline did a safety video of some sort like this, because it would be freaking awesome to like watch it. Because I was like sitting there and I'm watching it, and I'm like kind of bobbing up and down in my seat, listening to them sing and dance. And I'm like, okay, I'm not even on the damn plane and I'm paying attention. So it was a win for them.
He also just released a trailer for his next music video, which is based on How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, dear.
And he also, didn't you do, it was either you or me that did Cell Block Tango.
Cell Block. Cracked.
Cracked, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the guy is super talented, and I love his takes on things.
You know, well, and so. This is the part that I really liked is that it's an official, like, thing from Virgin America. So I'm taking it as, like, yes, he's actually gotten his name out there. He's gotten some notoriety and some recognition, and they approached him to do it. Yeah. Which I think is cool. You know, it's not like his other stuff, which I think is more like, hey, I'm talented. I'm going to do this. Watch me.
Sort of a fan service. Yeah.
Right. So I think this is like a legit gig he got paid for and did stuff, which I thought was awesome.
Cool.
Oh, my.
All right.
What on earth did you give us?
Just something to kind of tie into today's topic.
Yeah, they put the Disney heroines
into Disney and Star Wars princesses.
Wow, it's pretty wild.
Alrighty.
Although loving Mulan. Oh god. Cinderella in carbonite.
That is pretty wild. Okay. So I think we're kinda done. But the only thing I wanted to say is happy birthday, Walt Disney, because his birthday is coming up on December 5th, and that's why I threw out this idea to the guys to talk about Disney films, because even though he's gone, his legacy continues. And I knew what I should have picked as a link, but I don't know where it's at. There was this amazing behind-the-scenes blog where someone was going around on Epcot. Hadrian, I think, knows about this, where someone was going around in Epcot and like filming places that you don't know exist anymore because they're abandoned portions of the park.
Yeah.
Like rides that aren't used anymore and building sections and stuff like that. It was pretty wild. And I was like, wow, like it's crazy to me that like when you're there, they've totally manufactured that you don't get to see certain things anymore. And they shut down the one part of Epcot that I really enjoyed as a kid. And anyways, yeah. It's just pretty cool, and it goes to show that like the more intriguing thing is that they started some projects and they never finished, or they kind of flopped. And like what we see is really what Walt wanted was he wanted us to escape reality. And when you escape reality, the best way to do it is to control everything that we have and that we see and that we know. So and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a very interesting premise of how they founded their business and what they've done for us for entertainment. So. Oh.
Very cool. Alrighty.
So, plenty of ways to contact us. If you know of a little person.
Gravy.
Would like to fuck somebody. Let me know. cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Pop over to our website, cubsoutloud@gmail.com, which actually has all the links that we discuss here. Also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/CubsOutLoud, Facebook.com/CubsOutLoud, google.com/+CubsOutLoud. Please pop over to bearunderground.net, sign up and join our group. Remember, you can post whatever you want there. It doesn't have to be anything to do with the show directly or anything. So post in that. Also, pop over to iTunes, leave us a review. 5-star, 4-star, whatever, we'll read it on the show. Also, if you listen to us on Stitcher Radio, don't forget to give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate it very much. Find me anywhere on the internet as Box Techie, Box Cub, Box Tech, Box Cub, Box Puppy, Box whatever.
I am TheaterCup79 on Bear401, Bear Underground, and Tumblr.
And I can be found pretty much anywhere that I want to be found on the internet as GearBear73.
And you can find me pretty much everywhere as Robbie Bobby. Chaseable, unfortunately, is no more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
in existence, or you're not?
Oh, no, Chaseable? I left the site.
Oh, okay. So Chaseable is still around, so if you're still looking, you get Chaseable. But he is no longer there.
Yeah.
By the way, on the complete list of Walt Disney movies list challenges list, I got an 83. How about you guys?
122.
Robert?
Robert. I'm going to try to look for mine real fast.
Okay. I'll wait until Gary finds his, because honestly, why? I think because I want to know what Gary's number is before I tell mine, because I think Gary's is probably near mine.
Lord. No, I think mine might be higher than yours. Okay, this is where I get really pissy about freaking Facebook, because it takes forever to go back and find something. I was 81.
Ah.
I was just barely under 20% of
so
all.
So you were Disney not films. Higher than Robert.
Wow. I feel like I've wasted so much of my life.
How many did you have?
170.
So he had almost, he had double yours, Gary.
He had almost 40%.
Yeah. I have seen quite a number. And a lot of them were the first few, like what you were saying, Gary, earlier. It was like the first, the ones that they made in the first, you know, 30 years of the company. You know, right. A lot of them I have, a lot of them they made in the last 20 years I haven't seen, because of the simple fact that they put out new movies every 6 months.
Yeah. Wait, don't tell me you've seen Xenon, Girl from the 21st Century?
I have. God, no.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let me... this is why I wanted to
explain. No. Great way to end the show. Thanks, everybody. For tuning in. Bye-bye.
All right, say goodnight, everybody.
We're taping a cut off.
I think I saved you there. So.
That was not very nice.
Okay, I didn't do
saved
it.
Saved him.
Let me I explain.
Okay.
There was a time when I first moved here, when I first moved to Cincinnati, I had basic cable. So I had like the first 20 channels. For whatever reason, I was getting bleed through. And the only channels I had like three new channels. It was, I think, Bravo, Disney Channel, and CMT.
Oh God. Okay.
So instead, when I, the only time I had to watch anything, I would watch like Disney or whatnot. So I saw all the crap. I saw like Hannah Montana and Sweet Life, God, and all of that shit. And on top of that, I got to see random movies like Xenon and Twitches and all of those other, you know, there were, I saw a lot of that stuff only because there was nothing else on.
Wow.
Oh God.
I would turn my TV on and like, oh, okay, there's this. And I would be like, okay. And I would get, I don't know how or why I would get wrapped up in it and I would watch it. And
I feel like you need hazard pay for watching Hannah Montana and the Sweet Life. I mean, seriously, combat pay, because he just, nobody should have to watch that crap.
It's one of those things where you sit there and you go, and that's literally what I would do. It's like, this is what kids are watching these days. Really?
I think I'm going to stop recording now.